satisfy you.
Welcome to Notcast, episode 277, Pinball Wizards. I'm Severin.
I'm Shiva, and I am not a wizard.
No, you're not. You're a sorceress.
I'm a couch.
Your couch, yes. And that art that Idis did for us.
You definitely
will be a couch.
Yeah, I haven't seen. I saw the black and white of that. I have not seen the color version if it's been done yet.
So. Yeah, I don't think it was done. I think Fuzz was like, oh, Severin needs to be shorter. Oh.
You are shorter.
I am shorter.
Your ears need to be bigger.
Yes. So
your height was right, but you need to stretch the ears and shrink everything else.
Yep. So, yeah, we have new art now. We've got all sorts of goodies coming up. So I just got back from my West Coast week-long trip. I had a lot of fun out there on the left coast. Earthquake free.
Luckily,
yeah. That was always kind of those, am I going to go out there? Am I going to experience the big one?
I wonder if people expect that when they come to like the Midwest / Texas. If I go there, am I going to see a tornado?
Yeah.
And hey. Go to Florida or Louisiana.
Hurricane.
Or go to hurricane.
Or get eaten by an alligator.
Yes.
So I had a ton of fun. So I went out to see my friend Flane. You may know him.
I think I've met him a couple times.
Yes. The person who basically got us to start this podcast way back in the day. Still friends. And so we went out there for BabsCon, the Bay Area Brony Spectacular. Yeah, they like their names. So went in there a little early. We get to go out to the Alameda Pinball Museum. That was really cool.
Do they let you play the games?
Yes. So this was really the only touristy thing we did this time. Last year, we did a whole crap load more touristy thing. I was out there a couple extra days earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we were just like, you know what? I got in late on Tuesday, was really tired. Wednesday, we didn't have – he had, like, some job stuff he had to do, and so we couldn't just tool around and do nonsense. And so that was, like, the one touristy thing we did. It's in Alameda, west of Oakland, and it's $15 to get in, and they have pinball pinball machines from like the 30s and on, or maybe even earlier. They have tons of functioning machines from the 1950s and 60s. They have like a Rolling Stones machine from the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
They have a really cool acrylic, it's made of like plastic and acrylic and whatever, so it's clear see-through, a mechanical pinball machine that is completely see-through, so you can see all the components in motion, including like the cylinders for the score, and of course they went on to like some of the more modern ones. They had, of course, the Adam's Family one, which is the
that's everywhere.
Well, that was the single most popular pinball machine of all time.
Well, to be fair, it's really fucking fun.
Oh yeah, it's a really good one.
I love pinball. So.
They had the Indiana Jones.
Which, again, was wicked popular.
Doctor Who.
I haven't played that one.
This is the Doctor Who one from the mid-80s, so like it went up to the 7th Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have
I definitely haven't seen those.
No. It has, like, a rotating TARDIS. It was actually a really neat machine. And what's really cool, so it's $15, and you can play as much as you want. Which,
they're all free to play?
Yeah, it's all set free to play.
Damn, that's a good amount. I'll pay $15 to go spend a day in a pinball arcade.
Yeah, and you can go in and out. They just stamp your hand. You can go to the restaurants around there, the bars and food and whatnot.
Oh, fuck yeah.
You could actually spend a day and play a crap load of pinball.
For $15.
I'll put the link to the place in the show notes if you're out there on the West Coast. It's actually really, really quite fun.
How crowded was it?
Not.
Oh.
They're open during the week until like 8 or 9 p.m. We were there for like maybe 2.5 hours, and we'd had kind of our fill by the end of it because, you know.
How much pinball can you play in 2.5 hours? A lot.
A lot, especially with some of those machines where it's like, oh, sorry, we spit your ball down the pit.
You're done.
They also had a couple of the more recent ones that I didn't know. They had an Iron Man one, the Transformers one.
Mm.
Then they had some of the real bizarro ones like Rescue 911. Which was a TV show back in the day.
Yeah, I remember. It's like, why? Now if they did want to, like,
one of the
know.
Other things they had was some of the original back art from some of the pinball machines. So, like, the Indiana Jones triptych painting that is the backboard for that particular board, they had the original art too.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the original art for several other ones.
Hmm.
And they don't, there's like, yeah, take photos, whatever, cool.
That's cool.
It was a lot of fun. Thursday, we went into the hotel and we were like, we're going to do all this crazy shit and go up to San Francisco and use Uber and da da da. And we decided,
no.
That sounds like too much fucking work. Let's just hang out with our friends and party. And so we did. We partied quite well. So that evening, we did a Games of Cards Against Humanity for a charity. Using a custom-printed deck of Cards Against Equinity, which is the MLP pony versions that yours truly won.
How do you do that for charity? Is there like a buy-in?
We buy in, and the person organizing it had prizes. Everybody got something, but it was basically, you know, as long as you donated $5 or more, you'd get something cool. And I mean, it's like cards and prints and some little brushables and minis. So everybody got something. But I was on the quote-unquote horse famous table, and it was I and eight others, and I was the first to five, and it was silly. But of course, I was like, yeah, I won the dirty for fag one, yeah. We raised $300 there, mm-hmm. and they raised probably a further $700 or so. It's for a horse rescue. Mm-hmm. And in California, like, yeah, $20 will feed the horses for a week. So we kept them fed for quite a while.
Good.
Then Friday, we was on a couple panels. I did a ping pong tournament with Kathy Wislick. I was the scorekeeper slash commentator with Flane. And we raised $1,000 there for San Francisco suicide prevention. Because there's two charities that the con specifically was promoting. There was San Francisco Suicide Prevention and a learning center. For a special needs learning center mm-hmm. in San Francisco. And so basically it was like, yeah, we sat up on stage and did the heckle commentator stuff. And people came up and paid $20 or $40 to challenge her best of five. And if you beat her, you got her. She would autograph a ping pong ball for you.
Is she like really good? Or?
Oh, yeah. She won 4/5 of her games. But some people went home very, very happy because, you know, they beat somebody.
Plus, she got to play against her, you know.
Oh, yeah. And she got to play like 25 games in the time of the panel.
Mm.
Also, moderated the comics panel from the actual IDW comics. That show stuff.
I've heard the name. I don't know who she is. Who was this?
Kathy Wislick is voice of Spike.
Oh, okay. I heard the name somewhere. And
ping pong apparently is quite a hobby of hers.
Apparently.
Yes.
Either that or fat nerds can't play ping pong. I mean,
both. Then again, consider the brony community is a lot closer to the anime community. And true. So there's a lot of scrawny dudes, too. A lot of skelly mode people. Also, so I moderated the panel with the comics folks. That was cool. And the Klingons, man. The Klingons can throw a badass party.
Yes, they can. I've heard about Klingon parties.
So basically, the parties that I went to this weekend were essentially the FC party, mm-hmm. where I got to talk shop with folks there, and I'm going to consult with them on how they do their video game room and whatnot. And it was cool catching up with some folks from FC that I hadn't seen in a long time. And the first night they had milkshakes and grilled cheese, nothing alcoholic. So I went over to the Klingon party and got utterly smashed. Mm-hmm. My weak human physiology could not handle their booze.
Didn't you say, I thought you said on Twitter you had one and that put you under
yes,
the table?
Yes, but the thing is, it was, they called the no-kill eye. I don't know what was in it, but it was a red solo cup, or in this case, a black solo cup,
mm-hmm.
that was full to the brim and 27% by volume.
And with the
so that's
surgery,
like 3 to 4 shots worth of liquor in me, really relatively quickly.
And you don't drink these days with the
no,
changes.
No, not really. So I was
here.
Like, yeah, I'm done for the night.
I'm done.
I spaced it out a little bit better on Saturday, which I went back to the Klingon party, and I went back to the FC party, where the FC party actually had alcoholic drinks that night, and it was great. You know, mm-hmm. drink to my face was numb.
So that's what, the 1.5 solo cups?
No, a little bit more than that, but yeah. All in all, the partying was really good, the panels I was on went well. The con only raised about $20,000,
only, quote unquote.
Well, they had like 2,600 people. That's so
pretty good.
Yeah. But there was, they split their stuff about several charities. So like Child's Play got a small amount, Wounded Warrior Project got a couple, got some, and then like the suicide prevention and the learning center got like $7,000 each.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it was great, and lost tennies. Everybody had fun. I had fun. It was great seeing friends for a week, and you know, I got to talk shop with a lot of folks. Because, I mean, these are just as much networking trips as they are. Go forth and party hard till your face is numb.
And that's kind of like all conventions. There's one part business, one part pleasure, one part alcohol.
Definitely. Because, well, like, I'm going up. I just realized a little bit ago that I have Every Northwest here in tail end of March or tail end of May.
That's going to say, are you going to time travel? End
of
March.
I'm time traveling backwards, just so you know. Tail end of May, and then the weekend after that's ACON. So I'm going to be doing two cons in 2 weeks, though I might be insane and at a third con. So it'd be one in Kansas City, one in Seattle, and then one back here in Dallas in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, but Kansas City you might be able to drive through.
Oh, yeah. And I already have flights and whatever. I'm actually a community guest for that one. They actually threw money my way to get me to come. So it covers like my flights plus the vast majority of my room.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. Never had that happen before. And I might go. I have a bunch of friends going up to the Kansas City one. It's all marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, it is legit business expenses. Got to get people to come to my convention. And then Furry Fiesta, too.
Yeah, but Furry Fiesta's after yours.
So. Quite a bit. Did you get to go down to HavenCon?
No, I didn't go.
Yeah, I think it was Zap and Sable that got to go. I need to pick their brains. Zap,
Sable, Wines, I think, went, and Lauren.
Yeah, I need to pick those guys' brains and see how that one went. I really hope it went well. They said they had over 1,000 folks.
They said, like, they texted me, or they tweeted me. They had. It was a good turnout. I was really surprised for a first year con, but apparently the furry panels were incredibly popular.
Good.
Like,
not to, you know, and HavenCon, in case you didn't know, is Texas's first LGBT gaming geek nerd convention. Basically, like, hey, it's a nerd con, but also targeted to the gay community.
For first year, they had 1025.
Not bad.
Not bad for a first year.
Yeah, and I'm not to tutor on horns, but I'm glad we were able to get them space at Fiesta. They can come up and get the furries and all.
That seemed, I saw quite a bit be like furry skim off down there. So
yeah,
it was nice little bit of cross promoting.
Well, yeah, because I mean, if there's a fandom that's pretty gay, it's the furries.
Yeah.
Other than that, I mean, that's pretty much been my week. I'm still recovering. I had a bit of mild con crud when I got back, and I'm still...
Of course, all the fucking pollen is not helping.
Oh, yeah.
My car's yellow.
Yeah, likewise. I have a black car, and it's got this nice little tinge.
I need to take it through the car wash this weekend. Oh, my God. And just everybody at work has been miserable with allergies. Just their faces are exploding.
It's springtime in Texas for Shiva.
Hey, at least I don't have the allergies, so I'm okay. Yeah. But everybody
also,
else...
Also, there's been some June bugs that missed the memo. I've been seeing a couple of them dead on the walk.
Yeah.
We woke up too soon. Too soon.
Yeah, well, June bugs take it as a suggestion. They don't actually stick to June.
Yeah, those jerks.
My week has been pretty laid back since Fiesta. I mean, and that's kind of nice because there were several months of, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Very shortly, we're going to be having Siesta coming up, so that's got to pick up speed soon. It's still several months away, but you know how those will go poof. And while it's a much less of an event than Fiesta is, hopefully Siesta will pull off just fine.
Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend for meat kind of thing, mini con. Mm-hmm. And what are the dates on that?
It is last day in July and first day in August. So July 31st, if there is a 31st.
Yeah.
30 days has it been for April, June, and November. Yeah, it's got a 31 days.
Okay.
31, July 31st and August 1st. And oh my God, my birthday is the 2nd of August, so it's going to be...
So you just claim it's your big birthday party.
Not quite. It's got to be siesta, siesta, oh my God, I'm dead, it's my birthday.
We'll make sure to get you some cake.
Siam's going to be going up to Gen Con with Sable that weekend, so I'm losing part of my help. But I can't begrudge him Gen Con because he's been wanting to go, and finding someone to split the bill with has, you know, you take advantage of that.
That's pretty much the only reason I'm considering that Kansas City Con, because I've got like four or five friends that are going, and they're like the crash space and whatnot.
Mm.
I'm like, I could do that. I could do that. I might do that.
So he's going out to Gen Con. Upcoming for me in 3 weeks. It's about 3 weeks now. I'm taking a cruise with Siam. I think I've talked about it before. Yep. It's our 15-year anniversary, 3 years late. Because this year will be 18 years that we've been together, and this was supposed to be for 15. I started buying it in year 13 and a half, figuring that by the time I got a year and a half to pay it off, no big deal. Then he lost his job. And then there were several years of everything going topsy-turvy, and yeah, finally bit the bullet and paid it off. So doing that in 3 weeks, don't know if I'm going to enjoy it. We're leaving out of Galveston. We're going down to the Grand Cayman. We're going down to Jamaica. And then we're going down to Cozumel, Mexico, which is apparently an island off the coast of Mexico. I don't know that much about it. Truthfully, before this, I never looked in the cruise. I was just kind of looking for some kind of epic 15-year anniversary because, fuck, it's been 15 years. Let's do something. And I got a deal for a cruise, decided to bite the bullet. I didn't end up taking the first package because I started paying on one, and it was starting to time out, and we were getting really close to the end, so they offered to upgrade it. The initial cruise, same thing, 7 days, blah, blah, blah. I would have to fly out of Miami, which means I'd have to fly from Dallas to Miami, which is cheapest I've seen is like $350 a ticket.
Really?
So add on another $700 for each. And then, well, all in all, basically we were having problems coming up with the money to pay off the cruise and buy a plane ticket to Miami. Well, they called up because I was timing out of this package and offered to quote-unquote upgrade me, a.k.a. kind of refresh my package. And the upgrade would let me do a bunch of different ports, one of which is Galveston, which I can drive to. And then I could do not just one line. I could do like Norwegian or Carnival. There was like three different lines I could choose from. It basically opened up our options really wide. And by the time I looked at factoring in not having to pay to fly to Miami, plus places to stay there, which it's Miami, it's fucking expensive unless you stay in a Roche Motel. And all this other horseshit that was going to go along with it, it ended up being just basically a couple hundred more to change out the package to where I could do more things and leave out of Galveston, which, you know, that frees up with stuff. I've never been to Galveston, so that'll be interesting.
It's nice.
Yeah, I know your sister was down there a bunch. She's talked about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those places. Nice to visit. Don't want to live there.
So I'm driving down the Friday the 24th, and we're leaving the port on the 25th, sometime midday. We'll be at sea for a couple days and start island hopping, and then we'll be back like the following Saturday midday. So I'm probably gonna be back up in Dallas like
Sunday.
I'll drive up the same day that we get back into port. So if we're back into port around 8 and we debark sometime that morning, I can be back up here like by dinner time, I imagine. It's only like 6-hour drive. Not too bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad. I mean, you know, if I've never been on a cruise, but I mean, they can be a lot of fun. Go get random food and see shows and lounge around and not be on the internet.
Yeah, that's kind of it. It's like, I put an international package on my phone, but it's like 250 megabytes for $30. That doesn't get you dick for shit.
Yeah, don't just turn your phone off. You know, it's okay to disconnect for a weekend or a week.
Except I'm leaving my other partner here in Dallas.
Well.
I don't care about keeping in contact with everybody else. It's just it'd be nice to kind of say hi to Sarah now and again.
True.
Yeah. Imagine you going on a cruise and you can't talk to Panther. You'd be kind of twitching too.
Yeah. That's true.
So I don't know what to do on the boat. I mean, I'm bringing a lot of books. I don't know what there is to do. So I admit we're probably going to do a couple of excursions, but every time I price them, they're like about $100 a person. It's like, Jesus Christ. They
get you.
They dick you in the details. So doing that, a little bit of stressed out because, well, you can board the ship and debark with a driver's license. Passport, it goes a lot faster. My renewal arrived in the mail last week. I dropped both me and Siam's renewal in the exact same mailing, like two envelopes separately. Mine's gotten back. His check's gotten cashed. Where's his passport?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We still have 3 weeks, so it's not a super panic yet, but it's getting kind of, like, itchy. Like, where is it? But at least we can still get on and off the boat with his driver's license. It just takes, like, a couple hours longer because, well, it's slower versus swipe and away you go.
They got to process you.
Didn't do much this past weekend. Dyed eggs on Sunday.
Yeah, I kind of completely, totally missed Easter being, you know, in San Francisco and at a convention that weekend. So
Easter's not a huge holiday for me. So,
no. You know, I mean, the only thing that I've done in the past few years is gone to Guardians and dyed eggs.
Yeah.
So
and that's an artistic project.
Yeah, that's just what kind of eggs can we make and then crack them open and eat them?
To be fair, I still need to make deviled eggs out of mine. And then, of course, I like to cook this weekend, so I went over to a friend's house. Super, super proud moment, and it sounds really dumb, but I'm kind of proud of myself. So for Christmas, we bought a hookah. It's a two-stem pipe.
Uh-huh.
And we'd used it once at, like, Fuzz's New Year's Eve party, and our friend Diddy was kind enough to hold my hand and walk me through everything and, you know, just very... This is how you do this. But it's been like 3 months, and I didn't know what I was doing, so I kind of Googled and half-remembered my way through setting it all up and how to prep the tobacco and all this other stuff. And I was really happy. It burned really well. I did it all by myself, and it worked, and it wasn't nasty.
Huzzah! Hey, you know, the first time you ever do something, it's always nice when you don't screw it up.
Especially when you're kind of like... I really want to do this thing, and because I got a couple of the flavors I really enjoy, and I set it up.
Cool. But,
also that night, so McCormick makes these stupid cheater marinades. They've got a bunch of different ones, but a couple of them are really good on the grill. They've got this one called Baja Citrus. It's basically garlic, citrus, a little bit of red pepper, not a lot. You mix it with some oil, some vinegar, and some water, and you slap it on some chicken. Then you grill it. It's stupid delicious. So I did that, and we went out. You know what elotes is, don't you?
A what?
Elotes?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't know what they were called. I knew them as corn cups for the longest time until I got with Sarah, who you know, told me what they were actually called. For our listeners who are not from this part of the country, it's basically shaved corn off of a cob. You mix in butter, Parmesan cheese, a little bit of mayo, sour cream, whole bunch of creamy stuff. And then sometimes you mix in hot sauce. Well, we went to one of the Fiesta Marts.
Fiesta!
Fiesta, actually, I think it was at El Ranchero. Okay. And forgive my horrible accent, I am not from this part of the country. My took French and Latin, so we introduced Noxie and Glar to those back on a while ago. So we got some of those, that corn, I forget what the green was, and did that, smoked hookah, and then...
just mixing all the cultures, huh?
Well, the Baja Citrus had, you know, certain Southwest...
I'm just teasing. But yeah, the lotus is good if you...
if you can handle corn.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's basically flavored up corn. You know why? Because, well, in Mexico, corn's pretty plentiful. And
And you just mix all the junk on. You just add in so much bad for you. Cheese and mayo and sour cream and butter and...
Oh, it's good stuff.
Granted, it's a big cup of, like, big styrofoam cup of, like, about 12 ounces, 16 ounces?
It's like a corner corn cob or two, yeah.
Not if you get the big ones. The big ones are like 4 or 5 corn cobs shaved into it.
They just get the big old can of corn.
That's basically it. And, Drew said the guy running the stand came up and when he basically ordered it in, because he could speak a little bit of Spanish, especially when it regards to food. The guy kind of looked at him, it was funny when he ordered 3 larges. He's like, you want what?
Oh, you hungry gringo.
Yeah, basically. It's like, well, we really like elotes.
It's good stuff. All right, cool. Well, we're about half an hour in, so we're going to pause, stop, and save, and we'll be getting on to the email portion of the show very soon. Song-wise, I don't think we have anything particular. I will pick something in and put it in post. And we'll have an item from Adam and Eve, because we still haven't set up the Patreon yet.
Yes.
We have the icon art. We don't have the banner art. But once we do, and everything's kosher, but not yet.
Mm-hmm.
We'll BRB.
All right.
right, so this week from Adam and Eve, they're doing an Easter sale, I guess. So, Shiva, take it away.
All right, so if you go to Adam and Eve, as well, it's just adameve.com, their main banner this particular time of year is they have Rabbit Vibes on sale because Easter. Rabbit Vibe, if you're not familiar with it, is a little vibrator with, it's got like a little doohickey that sticks off the top with two little wiggling ears, which are supposed to tickle your clit and make it a lot more fun. Personally, I've never tried one. I've heard that they are eye-crossingly good, and I keep wanting to try one, but I haven't. So these prices are kind of making me tempted. they have a whole bunch of them. I mean, oodles. I'm not even sure if all of these are necessarily actually rabbits. This one looks like a platypus. So they may be mixing their metaphors. I know that they've got ones called, oh, look, that one's a dolphin. So they have ones with all kinds of critters mounted on the top.
Yeah, pick your critter.
To tickle your bits. Some are on sale for a significant cut down. Most are shaved off about 10. This one's about half price. It's all kinds of ratings, all kinds of popularity, all kinds of prices. From cheap to not so cheap to, that looks interesting.
Yep.
So, Adam and Eve, you can use our coupon code, KNOT, K-N-O-T, and that will help you.
That gets you a bunch of extra goodies.
And it will help out the show. Plus, get you something to shove into other places.
Yep. And, these are primarily for people that have vaginas, but I'm sure you could improvise.
Well, some of our listeners have vaginas.
Yes, there are. I'm sure there's quite a few.
Well, this one's got triple, so it's got all the...
Yeah.
All the holes taken care of.
Get you well situated.
Yeah, it's 15 off.
So yeah, check it out, adamandeve.com, and we are going to get to the email.
Stick a bunny in your cooch.
Yep. Emails! All right, I will start first, and we've got 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 emails. I will just burn through here pretty quick. Actually, 8, because one of them is that just a...
FYI.
Yeah, FYI that is about our Patreon stuff, but not exactly for the show. All right, this one's topic is... Whoops. Hello, Notcast. Thought it would be a good time to send in a non-perverted question for the cast.
Good luck.
I recently got into a bit of relationship trouble. Some backstory. I don't like dating. I enjoy being single and all the no-strings-attached sex and whatnot involved. I normally come off as a very flirtatious kind of person, and it kind of backfired on me in this instance. A younger fur, me being 21 and him being 18, has over the past few months been following my video game streams and Twitter pages. We started talking and stuff, some minor online roleplay, and has evolved into phone conversations and texts. I see this person as a new friend, but he has recently been telling me he loves me, as well as sending me romantic tweets. I would like to point out that I have not reciprocated in any way that I love this person. I have told him many times I do not want to date anyone. Because this younger fur is, well... younger, he wants to move out of his parents' house. He has been begging to move in with me even though I live many states away. How should I handle this with the least amount of hurt feelings? Anyways, thanks for any answers given. Rand the Bat.
Well, you haven't said if you'd even consider, like, letting him move in as a roommate with or without any strings attached.
Yeah. Well...
If he's interested, I would not let him move in. That could be.
I'm really just sad. Thinking this is just young puppy love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's following you on Twitch and Twitter and, you know, more in love with the idea of you than perhaps the you. This happens a lot. I mean, you basically have somebody who sees you, oh, you're older, you've got your shit together, and oh, maybe he can help me out.
Mm-hmm.
The honest truth is, no, he's just a fanboy. And... the situation as it is, well, obviously you're not going to let him move out of his parents' house and move into your place, because, well, you have a brain in your skull, and this sort of stuff doesn't work out well 90% of the time, especially if it's a love-struck younger fur, and you going, you're a friend? I mean, it's entirely possible that he might have gotten the wrong idea from any sort of RP, which, in this particular case, is probably a good idea to just cut that off. You're going to need to tell this guy, look, I'm not your savior. I'm not going to be taking you away from your parents' house or anything like that. I mean, phrase it nicer than that, but this is somebody you've got, somebody with a massive crush on you, probably, mm-hmm. that, you know, you don't want it, and this guy probably should be let down gently and explain to him your feelings on relationships, especially with random 18-year-olds multiple states away. And let down as soft as possible. I mean, I would not expect it to go smoothly, knowing 18-year-olds and their hormones. Having been there ourselves at one point, everyone knows. Because, you know, I was in that dude's position at one point. I had major crushes on some people back in the day
mm-hmm.
when I was a dumb hormone-addled 17- and 18-year-old. I mean, I was a dumb hormone-addled 18-year-old at the time.
Everybody has.
Everybody is. So let him down soft, but you really need to, like, lay down the facts for him and kind of be like, look, I know you like me, like, but I'm not in that way.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. It's not being mean, but, you know, this dude's a kid. Younger for he, she, they, you know, they're a kid and they're not fully cooked yet.
All right, next one. Our questions and fandom curiosity. Hi, Notcasters. It's been a while since I wrote in. I'm happy to report that I'm still alive and, oh, I can't say it on the radio. Oh, well. Odd intro aside, I was wondering about a potential art theft issue. See, I can't draw very well, but I can do other forms of visual arts. If I were to take a picture drawn by someone who can draw well and, say, use it to make a sculpture or other form of art, would that be considered art theft? I was thinking of doing something similar to this and selling my wares in the fandom. Is this art theft? Do I need the artist's permission? Since I'm planning on doing this regularly, should I partner with an artist? How does IT work? Do I need to construct additional pylons?
Always.
Would they have to commission both of us? Do I do prepaid like normal art, down payment like fursuit, or what? For the second thing I want to ask, our Nowhere fandom has overlap with other fandoms and social groups. Any furry grease monkeys, gearheads, lead feet, and piston heads? How I go about finding other furries that share similar interests? Are there con animals for car stuff? A huggable fluff legion bunny. Okay. Well, converting one media into another, I don't know if you consider it theft, but it would be rude. It would actually probably get you a whole hell of a lot of flack. Because there's been several cases in, like, major media where one artist has taken another's work and derived it into a new form, and it's been met favorably. Furry fandom, though, is really twitchy on the art theft. If you can't do original art, then I would look to talk to a couple artists, see if, hey, do you mind if I do this in a different media? See what they say. But yeah, I would definitely say if you're doing derivative work, get permission or partner. Like you were saying, one person who's done this is Pony Girl. She's a sculptor. I think she's on FA as Pony Girl. And she's worked with, like, Michelle Light and a bunch of others to create resin. She does, like, the sculpting, and then they resin cast it and things like that. I've got a couple of her works.
Like the little, this like Sabertooth Cat Girl.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Those are cute.
So as far as, I don't know how she works her pricing. And honestly, not all artists necessarily prepay. Some make you give out roughs and approve a sketch and a rough before you pay. Some are all up front, some are all when you get done. It really depends on the artist and how much they've been burned. So if you're starting out and you need to kind of get a couple leads, you might offer to pay when you're done or do a couple favors for a couple people where you just have, so you have materials to showcase what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you get popular, you can go into like a deposit type system. Again, I would look and see at, like, some of the other sculpture artists like Pony Girl and see what they do for commissions.
on the from my end, so at BabsCon this last week, there was a dude who was there vending with his parents who had a laser cut machine. And he was working with an artist to turn this art and like figure vectors and whatever into laser cut character art and portraiture and whatnot. And this guy had teamed up with an artist and was using their art on his medium, which would be using a laser etcher on wood, which turned out really cool. And so that was basically an instance of him transferring mediums, basically taking a 2D print and putting it onto wood. And it was done with the permission of the artist working in conjunction. And, like, the guy had signed pieces and whatnot. So, you know, always, always, always talk. If you're going to derive something, talk to the artist, like Shiva said. But I think a bigger question is, you know, get started and establish yourself as being able to do it just to begin with. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you can totally talk to these artists, but make sure you can do it in the first place.
Yeah, and if you're going to do something like a derivative work that you want to kind of show people afterwards, don't sell it. Never put a price on something that you're basically doing as, call it fan art, but and maybe post it, but don't ever sell it. You know, don't do that without the artist's permission. Yeah. Say fan art.
Because there's a lot of people that, like, they do the custom sculptures based on art, you know, basically pony people that do this. But it's always done with the permission of the artist. And some of the people out there have turned out some amazing 3D little sculptures. But it's always done with permission of artists. And generally, they don't just sell it on the open market. It's like they have to. In the particular cases, they're like, this is based on this pick by this artist. And so everybody has to be in agreement. And I think probably the original artist probably gets a cut too. You know, it's a big old mess of money flying around.
It really depends on when you're doing a laser cut. There's a certain or vinyl cutting or something. There's a certain amount of fiddling that you have to do. But if you're already taking a fully developed work and just kind of fine tuning it to so that your machine will put it out, there's some skill involved, yes. But you're still. But it's kind of different when you're taking, say, something like a photograph and then you're painting it. Or you're taking a picture and then you're sculpting it, because it takes a lot of skill to transform one completely to the other. Now, if you were taking like a photograph and then you as the artists are driving it down to its basic silhouette for laser cutting or etching or any of that, that takes a good amount of artistic thing to cut it down from one larger piece down to a simplified version that'll work through your machine. But if you're basically taking line art and with a couple of tweaks running it through your processes, yes, there's some skill involved, but it's not quite the same thing as taking and sculpting.
The showpiece that this one particular guy had was a like 3 foot wide by a foot and a half tall laser etched piece that had that color gradients and what it was all basically laser cut, so it was black and white. But he was like, yeah, this took me like 10 hours to make sure the art was all converted correctly, and then 3 hours to actually burn it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, this was like a major chunk of a dude's day.
Yeah, that's something else. I was thinking like the little laser cut glasses.
That's kind of it. I mean, we've kind of killed that topic.
Okay. You know, asking about gearheads.
Car panel stuff, I'm sure there's like furry biker meetups and whatnot at cons.
Yeah, I've seen it at Fiesta alone. I mean, I've seen car heads, I've seen bike groups. Heck, your old roommate helped put on one of the bikers. I've seen a bunch of different cons. You might want to look around FA. I'm sure that there's groups on FA.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's biker furs, gearhead furs.
If nothing else, you could start one up.
Yeah. All right.
So if you build it, they will come.
Pretty much. So let's move on to the next wall of text.
That one's all yours.
Yep. All right, this one doesn't have a subject. Dear Notcast, I'm running in today with a wall of words to get some words from you on an issue I'm having. I think I may have written to you about this before, but either you didn't answer or I didn't hear that episode. Since then, a lot more has happened. I would appreciate a new opinion on the issue and would gladly simply receive an email if you already answered this on the show. I don't think we have, so we're going to keep going. If you read this on the show and you guys are doing the trigger thing, you may want to warn your listeners that now this letter involves sexual abuse. So trigger warning, sexual abuse.
Listen at your own peril.
All right, here we go. I was molested in middle school and raped just after high school by two different males. For ease of convenience and follow-up questions you may have, you can call the male from middle school J and the male from just after high school W. At the time I was raped by W, he and I were very close friends. We hung out more than once a week, but always as a three-person unit. My SO, W, and I. Often three of us would just get together once a week to watch a show for the new episode that aired on TV. This is also the time where I first started taking antipsychotic medications, and I was dosed so heavily that when I went to sleep, I slept like someone under anesthesia for 10 or so hours. W decided to take advantage of this and rape me in my sleep. As I got more used to the meds, I slept less heavily and woke up four separate rapes that I can remember. Jesus.
Jesus.
Fast forward several years. I'm now 24, having taken W to court and won, though he only served 5 months of a one-year sentence. The last few years of my life, the ones that stretched over the trial and the months afterwards, got steadily worse as the weeks dragged by. My psychiatrist medicated me with two different medications that were not good for my health. One that made me sick for a time, then blamed me for not giving him the information I didn't have when I tried to bring it up that he had made me ill. I lost many friends because they decided to take W's side. I had to fight my way through court. My private business became known to lots of people in my very small town, and I was stigmatized by people I had never known. My various mental issues went into such a deep downward spiral that I ended up being dragged down on a 5150, a code in California that means you're taken into a mental ward and held against your will, and spent some time in a partial hospitalization program. Through these two awful experiences, I'm learning to manage my symptoms, and my life is currently the happiest it has been since before I was raped. However, I have totally lost interest in sex. I still enjoy porn and erotica and get turned on but the actual act of penis and vagina sex, I am a vagina haver, but let's not go into any more labels than that, isn't something I care about outside of the fact that my SO desires to have sex with me. When we do have sex, we do all the things that are supposed to get a female all ready for sexy times, but no matter how much prep, mood setting, and lube we use, it's always painful for me. It's usually so painful that we have to stop in the middle, I'm left feeling broken and useless. Oh, my wonderful SO insists every time that it's not so and always thanks me for trying. I'm not into receiving or giving oral anymore either. Giving seems like a job, not a pleasure, and receiving, I just hate it. I still find my SO beyond sexy, but I'd be perfectly happy if all we did was make out and engage in heavy petting and teasing. Knock asked, what do? I don't want to lose my SO to something like this, but I'm not in a position to find a sex therapist on top of all the other doctors my medical needs require. I've talked to him about it briefly, and he's willing to bet that it's because of the meds I'm on and because of my history, and he's sure I'll bounce back. I know he's frustrated, though, and I don't want to lose him in our nearly 8 years together over a broken or halted desire for sex. I'm sorry this was so wordy, and just wanted to make sure you understood the issue without having to ask so many follow-up questions. Thanks for any advice you may have, a curious cat in California.
First of all, you know, good on you that you've lasted this long. It sounds like you had a hell of a time getting here. Damn.
Yeah.
Well, I do know that psych meds can have a serious impact on sexuality, and desire, and the ability to have sexy fun times. It's not unusual for those kind of medications to really throw you for a loop, toss it out the window. I've also heard it a couple of times when it throws you in overdrive, but it's basically it messes with you, pro or con. He could be right. It could just be something that you will get over in time. And I know you said you can't get with a sex therapist. You might try doing some exercises that you find out on the net. See if you can't. I do know that there's lots of boards out there designed specifically for relationship advice, not just like this, but like medical related. And you may want to, if you can, see about trying a different medication if you really want to do it. It doesn't sound like a fun situation to be in, but he seems, at least so far. And it may be a matter of not just talking to him a little bit, but talking to him more. And sometimes talking will help work through things, especially if he's willing to be there for you.
Yeah, and given your history, I mean, it's completely reasonable for this to be, for sex to be an actual problem for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really your fault. You know, you've had some bad shit happen to you, And, you know, that leaves a mark on you. Yeah. And like Shiva said, you're on multiple medications and those can mess up with your sex drive. And
did they say how old they are now?
I think they mentioned they're 24, possibly.
Yeah, 24.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I mean,
if this happened just out of high school, it hasn't been that long as far as these things go. So if you graduated, like most people do, around 18, and I guess it happens somewhere between 19 and 20, then that's not really all that much time to work through crap like this on top of on medications.
Yeah, this stuff takes time, and you're lucky, and I don't say that like in a bad way, but I mean, this your partner, your SO here, seems to be a very understanding individual, and, you know, you're a hell of a trooper for, you know, going through sex, even though you're like, no, this hurts. Just stop. No, stop. And that, you know, you don't have to do that. And when, you know, going, if it hurts every time you do it, that's probably not helping you.
Yeah, get into very long. It. I mean,
not helping you in the long term. So basically, I would, you know, kind of sit down and, you know, while you're not going to be able to go to a sex therapist, at least you need to talk this over with your SO and be like, look, this is the situation. This is why I don't do this. This is why I don't do that. Please understand, I'm trying to work through this. And hopefully, I mean, you've been with them 8 years, they'll be understanding. And, you know, you don't have to put yourself in a situation where you're physically hurting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, over time, you will be able to work through this. Because forcing yourself to have sex that hurts and leaves you feeling bad and like crap afterwards, that's not mentally healthy.
Not fun at all.
Not fun. So this is definitely a situation where time is going to be the real kicker, I think. I mean, don't hide from sex, but don't force yourself to do it either.
Yeah, that's not going to help anybody.
And, you know, I mean, you do say that you get aroused by things and porn and get turned on. And, you know, if you can find the stuff that works for you, you know, if you want to just engage in heavy petting and teasing and that works for you, set that boundary and do that.
And it could be something like where you're, you know, you're enjoying porn and you enjoy porn together with the expectation there's not going to be any PIV, as you put it. You know, then, you know, set that expectation or, you know, next time we do this, it'll be when I say, you know, go for it. But just for the next little while, you know, just say, okay, until I say further, let's not even like put this out on the board. We'll stay completely away from that. It's not even a possibility. So that pressure's not even there. Maybe enjoy porn together, enjoy heavy petting, enjoy making out. Maybe if it's acceptable for you, have him, you know, give you, you know, touch you and get you off versus, you know, getting yourself off and try to work up from there.
Yeah.
You know, work further into, like, different kinds of penetration. I don't know if you like toys or not. Things like that.
It's basically find where you're comfortable and set your feelers out from there.
Yeah, just kind of edge out, and when you hit something either psychological or physical that says stop,
you stop.
The other thing is, if it's painful for you to have penetrative sex, if you get a chance to go to a gyno, make sure after those rapes something hasn't been damaged. Look at why is this hurting. If you've gotten some kind of tearing or scarring,
yeah,
that might be it. Sometimes also there's different malformations up inside, like around up inside the uterus and around the cervix, which I don't know if it's damage or just that's just how it is for some girls or vagina holders, whatever your particular pronouns that is, that can make penetrative sex very uncomfortable / painful. I don't know if maybe you don't get lubed up enough or maybe he's too large for your particular shape, but it's basically find out why it's hurting, and not just, oh, it hurts, But is it that the webbing's not stretching? Is it that there's scar tissue? Do you have maybe a malformation up inside your uterus that gets banged around when you get penetrated? I mean, there's a whole different things of why does it hurt when I have sex? And if you could figure that out, why, that might help. Because I'll tell you, pain and dryness really tends to short-circuit any kind of sexy times.
All right. So, let's see. Yours is short.
Yeah, I don't even know if this counts. I also don't know if this is a joke, but maybe. Love problem. Hi, my name is Kit, and I'm a black fox, and I can't seem to keep my partner happy in and out of bed. What can I do to help keep the relationship alive? That's about the most generic as that you can get.
I can't keep them happy. Well, if they're not happy, then you're not doing much of a relationship, huh?
We need more details. That's if this isn't just being...
someone being silly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Reply with more details.
If this is real. Okay.
You can read the next one.
Thank you.
That's also...
Let's see. No subject. And it's a screenshot from FA. This is one vestigial feature of FA I'm glad to see go. The subject line of comments. I use them every once in a while as a joke, but no one ever noticed, much less use them as well. Top, top, remnant from BBS's. Your trans girl, Pango from Georgia, Kylie Rogue.
Yep.
Yeah, the whole... Yeah,
that's... The subject or comment... We'll preface our comment with the subject.
Yeah, this one's yours. It says, not for me. All that's holy. That's the subject. Shiva, for all that's good and holy, let someone else read this.
And so we shall.
That means you.
It's not that long. All right, so... Howdy, Knockcast crew. To preface this great wall of text, I've been listening to the podcast regularly since episode 12, I think. I've been meaning to write in for one time or another, but I always get distracted by something shiny. Forgot to write the message or just figure out my input be of too little value of whatever topic was being hashed out. But after catching up on from a month backlog, I was surprised to hear the mentioning of demisexuality again, and more accurately, the debate that came about it. Considering myself a demi, I decided this would be a better time than to throw in my... would be a better time than any to throw in my two cents. I'd totally throw more your way if you had the Patreon, though. I'm tempted to bet the Half-Life 3 will be out before it's up, though. Smiley face. Anyways,
that's a dig.
I know. Anyways, first off, I want to share my thoughts on the debate on episode 275. Fuzz's comment about how he thought that homosexuality was just another unneeded label put me off a little, at least at first. I had to stop to try to figure out why I so strongly disagreed. I think I came up with a decent explanation to explain why it's a valid orientation, because I realized that I had the exact same thought as Fuzz for a while before figuring out the whole thing. More orientation labels focus on what someone's like. What someone
likes.
Yeah, they forgot an S there. They accidentally a letter. Heterosexual like people of the opposite gender. Homosexuals of the same gender. Bisexuals both. And asexuals nothing. Which is all good, but I think the biggest problem there isn't really a set of labels describing why people like what they like. The way I see it is like this. Some people may see a pretty person on the street and want to bone them simply because of their beauty. Some folks may be comfortable shagging another only after a cursory introduction at a bar or a speed dating service. As for the rest, it takes a strong, serious friendship bond or romantic urges to even come into existence, which is where the demi label comes from. Since I don't really know any other demis, my next part is purely speculation. The main reason I adopted telling people that I was demi is because I was tired of telling people I was bi. Then backpedaling because I need to explain that I'm really only romantically interested in someone if I had a strong friendship with them. Gender isn't really much of a factor for me, and while I can admire nice-looking bodies, it is very rare that I have any sort of interest in anything besides their attire or other such thing.
Amen.
And while I have to explain all that fluff anyway, I feel it's easier because I can explain the attraction to the romance. It's easier to introduce an orientation than needing to mix up and change around the definition that the other person is already familiar with. So, with that all out of the way... into more miscellaneous fluff. First off, a question for Shiva. About 2 years ago, give or take, there was a bit of a book discussion in the show. In it, Shiva mentioned a book where someone in the opening page of the book gave some sort of hint about some sort of major plot point later in the book and series, one that you'd only be able to catch after reading through it all.
Oh, that's Mistborn by Brandon Sanderson.
Well, shit, there you go.
It's one of my all-time favorites just because of how it's set up. So yes, it's the Mistborn trilogy by Brandon Sanderson.
Secondly, I can't remember a time everyone tried to do a tongue twister with Scottish accent. Sorry Fuzz isn't here this week.
We'll have to pen that for next week.
Lastly, for the love of God, what the fuck is someone going to explain Rule 5? We've been waiting since 2000 goddamn 8. You'll have to spill the beans sometime.
Do we even still have the rules written down somewhere?
Fuck, I don't think we do.
That's not the one that has to do with Nazis or scat, is it?
No, I don't think so. Yes, rule 5, there is no Rule 5.
So, yeah. I mean, we've made Nazi jokes since then.
Yeah.
And there's been poop jokes, too.
We try to stick away from them, but back in the early days, we kind of had the rules in place because we hadn't figured ourselves out so much.
And now we just throw Nazis. I would actually have to like in a poop sandwich and Nazi poop.
Oh, jeez, I would have to. We would actually have to go back and dig up what the rules were at one point.
Is it no Nazis or no Holocaust? Holocaust jokes.
Like, so. Don't do that, kids. love the show, Fluffies. You've helped me through some rough times with some well-timed advice, as well as brightening up the already good times with your humor and banter. Here's to getting to episode 300, and for another 100 past that, yours, Jeek. P.S. Squeaky Phoenix, Saffron, and Avery Ty for the best voice. Fluttershy is undoubtedly the best pony. P.P.S. Seriously, though, when you do make a Patreon, make Panther Talking on the podcast an incentive. I'm willing to bet you could put the price ridiculously high and still hit it with that kind of a motivation.
I don't know if we could set a price point high enough
he'd
to get...
be like, no.
Well, thanks for the good email.
Yep. But thanks for the points.
I think he actually really hit it on the head about demisexual. At least that trying to explain, you know, at least more what's meant by it. Oh God, another freaking.
Wow, these are. Well, you could read the shorter one.
I'll do the shorter one. It's safer that way. Let's see. Anonymous ethics question. I'd like for this email to remain anonymous. Okay. Hail, Notcast, full of gays, our problems sent to thee. Blessed art thou among foxes, and blessed art the fruits of thy loom, etc., etc., etc. Forgive me, for I have sinned. Well, not me, a friend. No, really. And it hasn't happened yet, so I've actually got a chance to discuss it with him, which is why I'm here. See, my friend wants to start lying to people about his age. He turned 30 last year, and in keeping with the grand old traditions of the gay community, 90% of all dating interest in him abruptly ceased. We're moving to a new state soon, and he wants to start telling people that he's 22, while still looking for someone reasonably close to his actual age, 25 to 33. Now, fibbing about his age might not be such an issue if he were looking for short-term flings, but he's actually seeking long-term relationship. My concern is that if he does land a committed, long-term relationship, eventually the other person is going to find out about his actual age. And when that happens, I'm concerned it could wreck an otherwise happy relationship. So guess what I'm asking is, if your partner came to you and admitted that they were a decade younger than they claimed to be, how would you react? Or how do you think the average person would react? Would it be grounds for a gay divorce, long and serious talk about trust and truth, shrug and see what they want for dinner? How big an issue would this be? If this isn't, it's right on air, so that's there. All right, let's see. So, first of all, if you're 30 or 30 plus and you're saying you're 22, unless you look absolutely fucking fabulous, no one's going to buy that.
Yeah.
You might be good going for like
28, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, somewhere 27, 28, somewhere in there. You know, if you look, it depends on how you look. If you're looking older than your age, if you're looking younger, then you might be able to pull off. 22 is really fucking stretching it, let me tell you.
I mean,
at least stay 25. Once you're 25, you're fully cooked, and it's a lot more sane.
Yeah.
Still, I don't know if I would hope it wouldn't get that long. I would hope it would get to, once you start getting through a couple of dates, you go, okay, I kind of fibbed. I'm not actually 20, let's say 28 because it's saner. I'm actually 30. You know, hopefully this person won't be shallow enough to go, oh, well, that doesn't matter so much. But if you start telling you, yeah, I told you I'm 22, and, well, fuck, you bought it. I don't know how you did that. I'm actually, you know, 32.
Half a generation older.
You know. I don't know.
I didn't grow up in the 2000s. I grew up in the 90s. I had the good cartoons.
I mean, one, whoever this is buying that will be either completely fucking gullible.
They're like, you didn't actually watch SpongeBob? Or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I don't know. Think a little bit of fibbing about your age is one thing. One, a decade's a lot to swallow. And two, it's a little bit of a stretch where hopefully the person might have glommed onto this the moment they laid eyes on you. But hey, you don't look 22.
I mean...
And you, like, own a house and stuff. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
We do joke about the whole, you know, oh, well, 30 used to be the gray muzzles in the furry community.
No. Gray muzzles used to be the 50s and 60s. And as time's gone on, it's creeped back further and further to now 30 is gray muzzle. And I don't know what the fuck that's about. Yeah.
I thought it went, like, to 30. Now that generation that was calling 30-year-old gray muzzles are in their 30s. Like, no, it's 40-year-olds. Because, I mean, by that metric...
Mm-hmm. Both of us are.
Yeah.
Hey, I did find one gray hair on Thanksgiving, so.
I'm pretty lucky. I don't have any yet.
But yeah, you're a couple years younger than me. Not too much.
Not too far though. So basically, if someone is going to be ultra shallow enough to care about the age difference between, you know, 1 or 2 years, I don't know. It just seems like that person being that shallow is. Probably not really great dating material.
And I've always said, but 22 is fucking unrealistic.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be a serious issue if they're, like, super shallow. But, you know, people, if that's, like, the barrier to entry, and then they find out later, oh, God, you're actually 2 years older than you said, you're actually 30, and they break it off with you, they're kind of jerks, too. I mean, age... It should be personality and person, not, oh, shit, arbitrary number.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be one thing if he was, like, 40 trying to get, you know, dudes in their 20s. That's a little skeevy sometimes. But he just turned 30, and...
He's not actually dead.
He's not dead. His dick still works, I'm assuming. And, you know, dust does not come out when he comes. So I think your friend, you know, if he fibs a little, not a huge amount, it's not going to be the end of the world, but it could affect, it could be like some trust issues.
Or at least get people, when they lay his eyes out, and go, what the fuck are you smoking?
Well, they look at him and be like, damn, you've lived a rough 22, huh? I've seen some shit. All right, so... I think we'll move on to the final email of the night. It is a Motor City FurCon Con report.
And I'm glad you're, like, falling on this grenade.
Oh, yeah. Greetings, casters of naughtiness. A familiar California tiger here with a con report for Motor City Furry Con 2015. I was unfortunately unable to make it to the con on Friday due to travel and classes, but I hauled ass to Detroit on a red-eye and landed at 6:30 in the morning and was promptly picked up by my mate at the airport. I unpacked at his place, and after a power nap there, we were off to the con at the Sheridan Novi. The ridge line was pretty much non-existent. I got my badge within 10 minutes of arriving. Just as we passed the area where badges were being checked, we ran into none other than Uncle Kage and Akala, who were having a bit of an open mic storytelling time in the hallway while they waited for the main stage to be clear for their charity show. One story that really stood out came from a brony slash furry who stepped up and told a bit about how just fucked up one of his BronyCon experiences was. Okay. He spun a tale in which he and a friend arrived at a BronyCon to find a pretty sketchy individual sitting near the door and two bronies arguing over who the best pony is in the background. The guy was sitting by the door asked the brony if he had any crack and produced a submachine gun from his pants, mentioning how no one should snitch on him. The brony got understandably uneasy and told the guy that he had no intention of being a snitch. Halfway through saying that, the guy with the gun got interrupted by turning back to his two bronies who were arguing and said, "Hey, Fluttershy's best pony motherfuckers." Entire panel, along with Uncle Kage and Akale, decided to bust out laughing. Okay. After a few more stories, it's probably one of them. Well, I mean, that could totally happen. There's been some cons in some kind of sketch places. I mean, shit, there's one in Baltimore, just saying. We've seen The Wire. Or we know The Wire by its reputation. After a few more stories, proceeded onward to the deals room, where I picked up a Yiffy comic and several books from Rabbit Valley. And as my tribute to Fuzz, two of them happened to be for Planet titles. I had my first experience in the artist alley shortly thereafter, and I have to say it was very easy to get overwhelmed with so much talent in the room. That every artist I talked to was very clear about their terms and conditions, and also very ready to communicate with any would-be commissioners. After I got a sketch and a custom badge, it was time to head over to some panels. The most memorable panel I attended was a comparative anatomy panel held by a local veterinarian who gave some really good insight into drawing a bit more realistically and started a few running jokes involving looking at a slice of dog bread or cutting a horse like a coffee table. Don't do that. After some dinner, my mate and I hit up the fursuit dance contest and headed to a rave where I proceeded to make an absolute fur fag of myself for the next 3.5 hours. After a particularly late night, we headed back to the con, and I promptly splurged in the dealer's room all over again for a new sketchbook and a couple of prints. After that, it was straight over to the charity auction where Kage and company were auctioning off some pretty hilarious and interesting articles. The two standouts were a gigantic rooster plushie that was announced as being a big fat cock, and an outrageous rendition of the American Gothic with Uncle Kage and Akali. Con attendance peaked over 1,000 this year, and 8,000 was raised for charity. I had an amazing time, and I highly recommend MCFC to anyone who happens to be in the Detroit area at this time. I've included a few pics for shits and giggles, loving the podcast as always, and keep on doing what you do. Soji Tiger. Yes, indeed. Got a first shooter with a big fat cock on his head. And, yeah, whew.
That's definitely
a painting.
Yes.
Well, something. Cool. Thanks for the con report, and always good to hear about fun times at conventions.
So, a couple things. I know our particular listener base goes to a wide variety of cons. Not just furry. Some do anime. Some do comic. There's a whole bunch of stuff. And
some people
so,
go to pony cons.
And
so
pony
weird.
Cons and pony cons. So, I know at some of the cons I've been to, there's been some unique panels. So I'd like our particular listeners to, if they happen to go to a con and note a odd panel or maybe kind of what the fuck or why panel, to just let us know about it and read us a description, because I'm kind of curious what all weirdness is out there.
So yes, so write in with your weird panel stories. Let's see. I have the BabsCon con book right here. Let's see. What all they have? I'm going to look over the schedule real quick. Hey, look. There's a full-page flamer next to that. Wow. Surprise.
You say that like you're actually surprised.
I made the ad myself. That's the thing. It's like, oh, hey, I did a thing. That's right. I do all the things most of the time. One thing I did really like is they have their own, like, they had a multi-page comic.
Mm-hmm.
The four-page comic. I thought was interesting. Oh, let's see. They had a magic show. They had fan VA panel, comic panel. There was a bad fanfic reading.
Oh, God.
I didn't go to that one. I was partying. How to Flirt 101, because you really need it. Your OC Sucks Live. Stables, bronies, masculinity, etc. I gotta find what that one was. What's the what is the description for that one? Because I always kind of, this is okay. Samuel Miller, the aka Professor Equine, is a doctoral student at the University of North Dakota and has been studying the gender implications that bronies pose to social norms. While the shock value of grown men liking a show for little girls has dissipated somewhat, the question remains: are bronies finally beyond the safe confines of the stable? If so, what does this mean for masculinity and femininity? Yeah. So yes, I'm sure there are plenty of strange panels that you could write in to tell us about, so why don't you guys do that for next week? Also, Fuzz should be back by then, and we will be having his Tales of Furry Weekend Atlanta. So, beyond that, I think we're good to go for the night. I'm going to cook some dinner.
Well, I ate before I came over, so we're going to go see Fast and Furious 7 tomorrow night. And I realized that I'd somehow managed to miss seeing 6, which I don't know why, because I have a thing for both Vin Diesel and The Rock.
Well, don't you know, man, this is the first one that actually takes place after the first movie. It's like the actual sequel to the first movie.
Ah.
Don't you got to follow that deep lore.
Okay.
Remember in the first movie they were stealing TVs with VCRs built in?
Mm-hmm. Because, you know.
Because that was what was around then. All right. So, on that note, good night.
And big balls.